The authorities in Bosnia and Herzegovina have started relaxing all these measures, rules that they put in place, rules of behavior. There is no what do they call it? There's no curfew here anymore. People below 18, above 65, can go out Monday, Wednesday, Friday between 9 and 1, 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. But they can go out in a car anytime, meaning from point A to point B. Stores have opened up, everything is open except for bars and restaurants. Schools are not. And now they have, for the first time, they're allowing people up to five, I think, in the group. Even though I don't know what that means for for churches and mosques, because they allow them to offer services, but they are saying no groups larger than five. And I just was passing by one of the mosques in town, and I was going into a shop next to it to buy a book about went through the courtyard. And there are people there counting people who can go in and actually pray. And they have to maintain distance between them in a way. So it's getting back to normal, except what is obligated upon us to actually, what we are, what we the, what, the measures that we have to follow include wearing masks all the time, and wearing gloves, maintaining distance from other people, physical distance from other people. There could be no more than certain number of people in the shop at any point in time. The queues lines are along outside of banks, for example, post offices, grocery stores, because they can only put few people in the grocery store, and they are usually small. They are not US style like Harris Teeter. And lines outside, people maintain the distance between them. Taxis are working and so on. I hope they're going to remove this even for 18 and 65 soon, but keep that all the other rules of engagement, physical distance, masks, gloves, and so on in place. When I say we, I mean Platform for Progress. What we are doing is continuing to operate through electronic means, our Sunday lives, live Facebook lives. We are there, well attended. Now, Academy of Platform for Progress is offering Wednesdays and Saturdays information on specific subjects so people can learn something while they're at home. I also had one direct conversation, offered a direct conversation with citizens, and we had about 45 or so, up to 50 people showed up through Zoom, and it was just a town hall meeting. They just could speak up and talk and suggest and comment and ask. And so we decided to do this Friday one more of those sessions. And I was hoping we would do one a month, but we'll see how that will go. So now we're becoming more and more active. There are four times a week, there is some program from Platform for Progress through its Facebook and YouTube channels. The communications team is working hard. Election committee has started working, collaborating with the communications team, communications and marketing team, or marketing and communications team. There's also our academy. They're also working with them because they have to prepare our candidates on a certain number of issues. We put in place the committee for the electoral strategy, which will provide some overall guidance for our approach to strategy. They started meeting those three, sometimes four committees together, or the heads of those committees to coordinate events. Well, I mean four, I basically mean the electoral committee, electoral strategy committee, committee marketing and communications committee, and platform academy. President's meeting or presidency or president governing board, they are long. They last time it was like 4 hours. It's every Thursday, and the last time I really had enough, I basically said no more than six items on the agenda, and no more than 2 hours. We'll stop a person in the middle of the speech, we'll stop that person, we'll continue the next time. So we'll see. A lot of things happening right at 9 p.m. Why is it? Because it's the month of Ramadan, a lot of people fast, and then they break fast at 8 p.m. when we normally had our meetings. So all the meetings got postponed. They're happening either during the day or after 9 p.m. Tonight is a presidency meeting of the governing board. What we have in place is a new situation. We have there are several high-profile bad things happening that people realize that somebody's stealing money even during the crisis, ordering respirators through companies that have no business ordering them, finding them because somebody will see, will have some financial gain by going through shady channels and so on. But what happened today was that the Central Electoral Commission announced that the elections will take place on October 4th as planned. So that uncertainty is out of the way. There will be elections. And for now, that means with the meeting of the governing board, that we call presidency, we'll start our campaign. It's not that we haven't thought about it before, that we haven't made moves that would benefit our campaign, but right from that, from tonight until October 4th, that's all where we do what we do, we'll work on. That's the focus, and all our activities will be driven by the fact that on October 4th there will be local elections, and we have to show, we have to do our best in order to do as well as we can. A lot of conversations. Meeting of the this governing board had a very heated discussion about one item. The committee for the elections, our elections committee, basically came up with a suggestion that we do a little bit relax our rules for finding the best candidates, because they said it is important that we get so many, as many votes as possible, which will determine how many seats we get in city council, county councils. To which I really objected. I said, no, under no circumstances will we relax any of our principles. However, let me define the quality. We always say quality or quantity. Let me define the quality for you. We have four principles: country, education capability, integrity, and concern for youth. If a person satisfies those criteria, that's a quality candidate. I know young people are concerned about the question of whether they have no experience. And I said, well, to be a representative, you don't have to be an architect yourself. You don't have to be an engineer, computer scientist, city planner. You have to know how to reason and find the right experts who will advise you. You have to be an upstanding citizen. You have to have a set of moral values. You have to live our principles. But that doesn't mean make you less than quality candidate if you don't have 10 years experience in a certain in law, practice of law. No. So that was really an interesting conversation, and I'm glad we had it, and we ended up in a good place. We have these regular meetings now via Zoom with our constituents, our members of various boards, regional as well as municipality level boards, as well as candidates. We had thus far these with region Sava, where we had about 70 plus people. We had region Bosna, we had 85, 87 people. We right now had with the region Una. We call them, we name them based on the names of the rivers. We had one with the river, with Neretva, which is in Herzegovina, where we, now in with Una, we had about 22 people. With Una, with Neretva, we had, close to 60-something people. Then we had a conversation with young ones, young people, that was also 50-plus. We use Zoom to communicate with our, with the infrastructure, with people on the platform. And because we need to communicate well so that they get the information about what we do so that they are informed. And on the other hand, they see the numbers and they realize they're not alone. And therefore, that's also a motivating factor. This series of meetings has gone well. People appreciate it. We might be the only party doing this, really, at times of coronavirus. So really, the dominant news is the fact that there will be elections, and we need to just get started. Not that we haven't started, but starting in earnest that total focus on the elections and forget about everything else, because at the last meeting of the governing board, we spent an hour and a half talking about a couple of people who violated certain communication protocols that we have. They said something inappropriate in Viber, and I said, well, why are we talking about it? Why is that the matter of presence? Let's send them to the appropriate committee that deals with issues of improper behavior, instead of us 15 people who are supposed to talk about strategy dealing with interpersonal issues. That conversation happened in social media outside of our channels, and yes, some people have said something that's wrong and we need to take care of that. But yes, let's give everybody their job. And so we formed a committee that will be a grievance committee, basically, that will receive things like that, and if there is any need to act based on their recommendation, then such a thing would come to the governing board to make that ultimate decision. Anyway, we will go to now. The time is set now to tomorrow to spend 7 to 10 days there, because we can work from there. And at least get away from being locked in a condo, and it might be a better situation. Anyway, I think that's roughly report. Political council was really, really busy these days. Politics as usual started. A lot of people have decided that the time of crisis is a time when you actually steal or pay some old debts or whatever, and the country is really trying to figure out how to deal with all of that improper behavior at the time when the COVID-19 pandemic is still going on.
Well, kind of a twofold question. With now that we know that the elections are going to be happening in October, maybe elaborate a little more in terms of what your focus will be now. We know you've been thinking that they're coming. Now we know they're coming. And also it's hard to believe it's been 2 years, but maybe review a little bit about what you can and can't do in terms of quote-unquote actual campaigning between now and those local elections.
The main task is to find the candidates who will go on lists, as we call them, election lists, those who will put their name forward and say, yeah, I'm willing to serve on a council, city council, county council. I'm willing to be a mayor. Finding those, we have about 120, 140 candidates now, and we need to be at north of 300. So we are in the process. We could really, 500 is to max it out every opportunity, every municipality, but we don't have to do that. But I think we need to be there somewhere around 300. So finding the people who can represent us well and are willing to do so. A lot of people consider this as a risky behavior, a risky move on their part, simply because they would be labeled by the opposition that they were on our lists. You know, just 5 minutes before our meeting started, I was conversing with people from Region Una, who were basically young people, were saying, listen, we are already having problems at our jobs because we are members of the platform, just because we are members. What if you are even candidates, we are on your lists? What would that then look like? So we have to work on that very carefully. The other is money. The other thing is money. We have to find the money to be successful in elections. The rules of engagement, always the same. You can campaign, the rules basically say you can campaign only in the month of September, a month prior to the elections. Since this is the beginning of October, October 4th, basically you're saying from September 4th or whatever, 5th, you can campaign. They don't mean that you cannot advertise yourself. What they're saying is that you cannot pay for anything that has to do with campaign. You cannot pay, you cannot put the billboards because you paid for them. You cannot show up on a TV in a paid infomercial or ad. You cannot have an ad on the national TV simply because, political ad, simply because it means you paid for it. Nobody's going to give it to you for free. And you cannot pay. You can do things that are free in nature. I can go out and put a sign and promote Mirsad, but only if I don't pay anybody to make that sign or myself to go out and do that. So it's kind of tricky, but it's not. As long as you don't pay any of it, then you're just fine. And then it's pretty tense during that month. And then the last day, you cannot do anything. Last day before the elections is the blackout for any political activities, rallies, or anything.
Except when you're running for president and you just kind of walk the streets the day before the election.
Right, yeah, you're talking about what we did the last time. Yeah, you can walk, certainly.
Sure.
You cannot give speeches, but you can greet people and thank them and so on. So yes, there is a double standard everywhere.
Well, what is your gut feeling in regards to where we were 2 years ago when you were starting? Obviously, unknown, whole different. It's not apples to apples, but where you are now in the process and how you can build upon that moving forward.
Clearly, many more people will be on the ballot in many cities, many municipalities. It's going to be more expensive because the list, or not much more, I think the whole list is 25,000 km at about $18,000-$19,000, and for me it was 20,000 km, so about 12,000, 13,000. We have to collect signatures because I needed 5,000 signatures for my candidacy. You have to see what that number is when there's a whole list, perhaps not many, much more than that. Of course, there's the money. I had to pay 20,000 km, so $12,000. Now it's going to be more, and I have to see how much more. We have to find the money. There are so many things we have to do. Find candidates, find money, prepare the strategy for which we have no money, but so we have to do it internal resources. Prepare the collateral material. Even now, there are expenses. For example, they boost my daily videos or Facebook Sunday night lives, as we call them. We just have to, even that we have to boost to get in front of other people, boost through Facebook, and even that requires money. So we are worrying about membership, because the more members pay, they have more money to pay for activities. We have to learn how to stay away from activities that are considered illegal, which is, let's say, using children for any kind of advertising, political advertising. We're building up the our legal teams that can help us to stay on the right side of the law for the elections. We're putting up the new website. We didn't pay for that because we have volunteers, but you know, even volunteers they take time. They take time, either because they have other jobs to do. Anyway, we talked about that. I even forgot the original one, but the money is going to be a big issue for us in making sure that we have, which was even the first time around. And which will allow us to do perhaps things that we were not able to do the first time, to be more in the media. Last time I realized you need 1,000 KMs for every minute on television, which is about $700. Now, for U.S. Conditions, that's nothing, but here, you have to pay for everything. Luckily, it's only 30 days for which you can pay. During that time, to be on national TV, other than the public service, they charge you more than 10. It's about 10,000 for 10 minutes. It's about 12,000 km. You divide it by 1.7, you get the number of dollars, the amount of dollars. For us, it is expensive simply because of the way we fund ourselves. Parties that are in the parliament, that are part of the government or a parliamentary, as they call them, parties, because they are in the parliament. Their representatives are in the parliament at a certain level. They get the money for doing politics at every level, from the country, from entities, from cantons, from cities, municipalities. And then it's a substantial amount of money. They really get the money for a campaign, while they should be using it for the campaign. You cannot get the money to stay in power, from taxpayers to stay in power. You should use it for maintaining the infrastructure of the party. But then they always use it for the elections. So really, going back to the original question, there's more of us now, bigger election, more expensive elections because there are more candidates, more issues that to cover, because now we have to deal with local issues and they are different from one locale to another. as opposed to general elections where we can simply deal with one set of topics which are of interest to the whole nation and therefore things are much simpler. So we'll learn. This is going to be our big test.
Right. And just as the restrictions loosen in terms of being able to get out more, I'm assuming that then that will open up opportunities for you or other members of the platform to get out more for town hall meetings and those types of things?
That's crucial for us, yes, and we cannot wait for that to actually happen. Even now, just the meeting before this one, before our conversation, the most frequently suggested a recommendation for the growth of our party in that region was, oh, you, Mossad, need to come here more often. Well, Corona stopped that. More often meaning you have to meet people in the street, you have to have town hall meeting. Since we don't have access to TV, since we don't have access to social media, other than our own, that is really the best way for us to get to people through personal contact, through a town hall meeting, to see them eye to eye, to have them ask questions, to respond. And luckily, there's more of us now, so there is some support. There is human resources group, team, communications marketing team, elections team, strategy team, academy team. There is a city board, there's a regional board. All of those people who are supposed to be helping the candidates and local organization to figure out how to succeed and conduct elections. So there is some support that was not present before, and I think we need to continue building that internal capability to respond positively to these election challenges.
And then just one more. As you are able to get out more, you've also discovered ways of connecting via Zoom and those types of things, some of these new strategies that have come out for communication. Do you intend to keep those in place even though you can get out more to the public?
Yes, they are crucial, actually. We found out that that's how you can be at more than one place at the same time. And so we could have meetings with, right now, with the license that we have, we can have up to 100 people in parallel at the same time. And we'll do that. You know, you can then, at the same time, have a meeting with people throughout the country, from all parts or regions of the country, which sometimes is really crucial. And as I said, I organize, besides the Facebook Lives on Sunday, I organize now these direct conversations with people through Zoom. And it is refreshing to see that they show up and ask questions without leaving the convenience of your home. And we still want to be responsible citizens and not force people to go out until the situation is completely clear. So these electronic meetings will still be useful. And I think you can really organize them inexpensively, actually for free. You don't have to rent a space, a facility where we would all meet. People don't have to leave the house, get in the car, gas is, fuel is expensive. I think there's I believe that in education, in politics, in corporate world, things like Zoom are here to stay. They taught us that we can sometimes avoid meeting in person, which is going to be hard in Bosnia because everything starts and ends with coffee, and it's hard to do a virtual coffee. But I think it is going to find a niche, not completely replace personal contact. We realize through this corona pandemic how social creatures we are. But I think electronic means, Zoom is one of them, and we just happen to be using Zoom. Electronic means of communication are here to stay. And I'm glad for that, because I'm glad that a facility like Zoom existed, because it made it so much easier to set up a meeting. Plus, it made us civil. You have to raise your hand to get a turn to speak. And if you don't, you don't get the right. And I can mute you. And there was one guy at a meeting who was trying to say something out of turn. I keep pushing the button. He kept pushing the button to speak, to unmute. And I kept pushing the button to mute him. And I was back and forth for 10 minutes. He didn't realize what was happening. He thought that was his computer was starting to malfunction. He would press unmute, and it would unmute and mute him right back until he raised his hand and said, and I said, what? He said, I'm not trying to say something. And I said, well, you have to push that little blue hand at the bottom of your screen and take your turn. I did not know that well, because you were late for the meeting and you didn't get the announcement at the very beginning. And so now people wait for their turn. And when they speak up, I tell them you have a limited amount of time. So they follow the rule, because they know I'm going to mute them. And in the end, it has been incredibly civil. Cool. Who knew technology could be good?
And then just you and the family are doing well, safe, everything?
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
We talk more often now with our kids and grandkids, which is good, because normally when you run around, you come home, you are for nothing, and you then you eat and you sleep a little bit. We actually watch a little bit of TV and then you go to sleep. And now we are home for the most part, or all the time, and so you find a little bit easier the time to connect with everybody, and they know that you are available, so they call more often as well, which is a really cool situation. But everybody's doing fine. Thanks for asking.
Sure. And again, enjoy your brief holiday. Be well and safe. I'm glad you can get away.
Thank you. Appreciate it.